Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the lighter side of genocide. It's broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the Island Chains Nation, in the sunny slave South Pacific. It's not only fluoridated, it's also Fukushima irradiated, which is good for the economy, according to the Prime Minister, because now everybody can get a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb and won't have to collect any benefits from the government because they're getting rid of them all. My very special guest today is from the Hagman and Hagman Report, the lovely and the fabulous Joe Hagman. Welcome to the program, my friend.
Well, hi, Mr. Eastwood, and it sounds a lot like America over there. you guys sound like you're in just as much trouble as we are, only I don't think there is a lighter side to genocide as we are seeing so much happen throughout the world now where people are getting killed left and right in wars started by our country and NATO, and we have more nations looking like they're ready to get involved in a World War III scenario is rolling itself out.
That's the new world order to a T. There isn't a country exempt, is there?
Does not seem to be that way. As we're seeing things continue to heat up in Syria, now Russia, more violence. As we're seeing rockets being launched into Israel, and just the whole Middle East is up in flames. The unemployment and economic woes in the Eurozone continue, and in America. And things are not getting better, it seems, on any front.
Do you think it's coming to a head?
Well, yeah, I really do. I think that we're going to see some events take place in the near future, whether they are natural occurring as a progression of what we're seeing, or they will be sped up by our governments or by the New World Order criminals. And I think this Syria problem for them is drawing out way too long. This is going on its third year of conflict. We are seeing the economy still being propped up, the stock market over here. People think it's we're still in a recovery, or we're ever in a recovery, and they're still able to pass that along as truth. But yes, I do think it's coming to a head, and I think especially in Europe, we're going to see some economic things happen that will really get that ball rolling, where they're going to have to jumpstart a new conflict, a new war, a new peace, something to distract the minds of the rest of the people who are paying attention.
Now, at the same time that the New World Order elements, government or private corporations and bankers and so forth, can accelerate plans, I've also noticed just my short time being involved with this form of information that people of our ilk, radio commentators, people who file things in court, protests and things of that nature, are capable of, in fact, delaying certain plans as well. Or do you believe that it's all eggs in one basket, and there's very little that we can do to change it? I mean, somebody made the point to me over the weekend, Joe, that even if I try my hardest, the best I'll ever accomplish is to delay the inevitable. I say delay it as long as possible, if that's the case.
Well, yeah, delaying the inevitable, definitely not a bad thing, because the inevitable being the total control of the few thousand bankers across the global spectrum. So, yeah, if we can delay it for another minute, another hour, another day, it's worth it, because I'm not sure. I don't know how many people are lined up ready to give their lives and freedom away at the whim of these international control freaks, but I say put it off as long as we possibly can.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a procrastinator by nature, so I'm just trying to procrastinate my extermination.
I'm the same way. I'm one of the worst types of procrastinators, and I'm with you all the way there, definitely. No, anyway, and it's amazing. We're sitting here talking about literally our governments committing genocide on a massive scale, and this being an end game, a one-world economy being an end game, and asking, I'm sitting here asking myself, how much time until this is really implemented, until they really begin to kill people who disagree with what they say and what they want on their local scale. I mean, we see them doing it on an international scale for war theater and psychological operations, but I don't know how things have been going over there, how the media has been covering it over there, but have you seen our new martial law tactics where the SWAT team? Yes, we have military and SWAT teams that roll through the neighborhoods in tanks and machine guns and ask people at gunpoint to come out of their house. No warrants, no reason, just that there might be a criminal hiding in your bushes.
It's sick, man. Now, posse comitatus, what exactly does that mean to you, Joe?
Well, I know what it once was, and now it means nothing. I live in Pennsylvania, northwestern Pennsylvania, up by the lake in Lake Erie, but I've traveled across the East Coast for years. I've been to New York City hundreds of times, and I've seen military personnel pretty much at every bridge and tunnel, even years ago, 3, 4, 5 years ago in my travels there. I've seen the armored vehicles riding on the highways. I don't see a clear line between military and police being drawn. I see it's a blurred line. They are merging as into one, and it means nothing to me. And I'm half the people in this country, if not more, don't even know what that word is or what the definition of that is, of posse comitatus, and what it means and how long it's been in place and how easily it was removed, even though that's being one of the main things that was fought for in our Revolutionary War was the freedoms and rights drafted by the founding fathers. That was a big deal. They saw it as a big deal, just like they saw control of the money being in the hands of the actual country a big deal. And those are things that are not too important anymore to the American people nor their leaders.
And to maybe those who don't know, posse comitatus is essentially a part, as I understand it, a part in the Constitution which prohibits the military from doing the police work and has a very, very clear definition. No military in the streets, no military checking houses doing police work. Yep. That's police jobs. You know, you get police to do that. So it used to be back in the day, you know, if there's a bad guy running around and you want to catch him, a sheriff would rustle up a posse and go after him. But now, if there's a couple of bad guys running around, they just violate posse comitatus and come after them.
Yeah, and how long until we start seeing drone strikes over our land to catch, as Rand Paul said the other day, which to my non-surprise, as many others were very surprised to hear him say, you know, if there's an active threat, whether it's a terror attack or a liquor store robbery, you know, they're not opposed to using the tools of law enforcement uses to catch these criminals. Pretty much advocating that a drone strike could be okay in an active crime on U.S. soil. Now, the Department of Justice had come out with memos in February, I think, speaking to this being legal, Americans being allowed to be killed on American soil with drone strikes. And they used a definition of what would be called an enemy combatant or a terrorist as being a target, but these days they're blurring those lines too and labeling people such as what you spoke about earlier, going to court, filing papers to separate yourself from this government or from yourself as in a tax status, what they call sovereign citizens over here. These are one of the number one enemies in America, people who know the law, people who know how they are labeled under this system and how to get out of it. They're labeled as the number one threat, as well as veterans and Christians now. So we're seeing the Homeland Security apparatus, which was initially used to remove posse comitatus under executive order, we're seeing that being turned inward on the American people who do not agree with socialism, with the New World Order, with Nazism, communism, all the isms you want to throw in there. Because that's all this really is.
I did see a picture of these Boston cops wearing their hats, and there was a picture right next to them of the hats that the SS officers used in World War II and the Nazis, and they were exactly the same shape and contour and everything. It was really scary.
Yeah, it is scary. And I'm happy I do not live in that area, and I'm not sure how your country deals with the police work in the military. I know that it's not as big of a land as the United States, but
could you imagine?
I mean,
yeah. Could I tell you an anecdote thing? This is an interesting one that happened in New Zealand about 2 months ago. A guy killed somebody with a rifle in the morning, around about 9 o'clock in the morning. People heard these shots. And then police, I think about 50 police arrived via helicopter, just very, very quickly, and another 200 via car. And they circled this small town, which only had about maybe a few thousand people in it, and checkpointed and pointed guns at everybody running through, okay, to see if they found this guy. They'd already caught the guy by 11:05, and by 1 p.m., the checkpoints were still there. Okay, and the reason why the police put up these checkpoints and pointed guns at mothers and children and fathers and whoever was just going along the road was to protect people from the horror of having somebody point a gun at them.
Well, isn't that just wonderful? The irony.
See, this is what I call the lighter side of genocide. I mean, it's like we're living in a global Monty Python tyranny commune or something like that. It's really messed up, man.
No, I'm laughing because if I don't laugh, I'll be crying. But that is, that sounds about right. It's for your safety, and it's for the safety of the children. The whole time, they are the ones with the big guns pointed at the people.
Every single time. That's the way I've always seen it happen. And the problem is, of course, they demonize others. Like, I was at a protest this weekend, Joe, about our electricity companies are being sold off to, the highest bidder and what have you. And every single time this kind of privatization happens in the Western world or wherever else, economy basically collapses soon after. It's a strategic resource. It's stupid to sell it. And the TV1 people, like there's two networks here, TV1 and TV3, that do news, interviewed me for a full 4 minutes. And I made sure to watch the news after that. And during the interview, I accused them of censoring out people whose opinions matter and keeping decent information out of the public's ears and covering things in very, very small sections, like with sound bites and what have you. And of course, when I was sitting there watching the news, I was completely cut out, and every person I saw them interview with that said anything important was cut out. And of course, they only just soundbited a few idle protesters who said very simplistic things in order to wrap up the whole issue. Da-da-da, okay, and it's all done. They did exactly what I accused them of doing.
Oh yeah, and they will. And the problem is, they continue to get away with this because the people we the people, no matter what country we're in, we don't hold them accountable. And shows like yours over in New Zealand and shows like ours here in America, and luckily there are voices out there of people willing to tell the truth. But, I mean, is it too late? Are the people so far gone that they don't see the walls closing in around them? I mean, it's bad here.
I wonder whether or not it matters, whether or not it's too late. Great generals throughout history actually realized that not only do you have to lie to and deceive the enemy in order to beat them, but you also have to deceive your own troops in order to make them think, even if they're wrong, that the situation is winnable. And in the situation where they think it's winnable, where ordinarily it wouldn't be, they often win through.
Yeah.
hope springs eternal in hopeless situations, especially combat or something like that, you know.
Yeah, and the sad fact of the matter is, and I'm sure you've experienced this just like we have, the truth is very popular. The real truth is very popular. Yet, these news agencies, which are obviously not reporting the truth because of who they're owned by, don't care about the money, don't care about the ratings, don't care about the people. They care about the control of information. And at least on our end, they've been able to do a really good job of that. But we are seeing a lot of pockets of people that are really questioning things here, to the point where, if at the Boston press conference, for example, after the bombings, the only question that was asked was this a false flag operation due to the drill being announced during, before and after the bomb went off? And they had to shut down the press conference a few times because that was the only question that was getting asked. So are the people starting to understand a little bit of what's going on? You could say yes. Is it a little too late? You could say yes. But there's always a saying, as a smart man once told me, that as long as you're alive and you have the opportunity and you're breathing, you still have a chance, and you should do what you can do to better yourself and those around you. So that's why we keep doing what we're doing, and hopefully we can reach one person. You know, if we reach one person, then we're doing our job.
And also, there's the capacity to talk yourself out of making a difference. Like, a guy's sitting down, and he's really ticked off with the fact that he's that his bills and everything are going up, and he's really upset that his politicians are all lying to him. He says, you know, maybe I could do something. Maybe I could, like, start a radio show or start doing some YouTube videos, or maybe ambush one of these politicians and take notes at the council meetings and expose them and file law cases and stuff like that. Oh, but it probably wouldn't do any good. And so, no, I'll just sit here and continue to do nothing. And so he convinces himself that by doing something, he'd accomplish nothing, and then convinces himself to do nothing, which accomplishes nothing.
Yeah. No, that's very well put. And so many people listen to that little voice of doubt.
Oh, hold on. We'll be right back.
On December 16th, 1961, the world turned upside down, then inside out, and I was born screaming in America. It was the tail end of the American dream, just before we lost our innocence irrevocably, when the TV eye brought the horror of our lives into our homes for all to see. I was told when I grew up I could be anything I wanted. A fireman, a policeman, a doctor, even president, it seemed. And for the first time in the history of mankind, something new called an astronaut. But like many kids growing up on a steady diet of Westerns, I always wanted to be the cowboy hero. That lone voice in the wilderness, fighting corruption and evil wherever I found it, and standing for freedom, truth, and justice. And in my heart of hearts, I still track the remnants of that dream wherever I go, in my never-ending ride into the setting sun.
Welcome back. Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to The Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live 5 days a week on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Just a little bit of the housekeeping to get out of the way. Over the weekend, I attended two protests, the first one of which my megaphone fell over and the whole back half of it smashed off. It's now being held together by duct tape. And this, and the second one, my a wireless microphone that I normally have around the lapel here is now also broken. So in a single week of in a single weekend of covering protests, I've lost my ability to amplify voice and capture voice. Son of a... You couldn't be kidding me. See, this is what happens when you actually want to go out there and get something done. You might lose some of your stuff. Yep. I don't think that megaphone's replaceable either. I've managed to keep it working, covered in duct tape. Looks pretty rangy, though. Pretty rangy indeed. And without wireless sound, mate, covering public meetings is going to be just shocking. Just shocking. So if anybody's capable of giving some donations or subscribing for a few bucks a month or whatever, is to help me, you know, just keep going out there with proper equipment to cover the protests and to continue doing this radio show as best we can, I guess, and give people the coverage they deserve, please, by all means, go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com and make a donation either through the bank account there. You can make automatic payments or one-offs, whatever. And there's also a buy now button and a subscribe button if you want to give a one-off donation through PayPal or recurring payments through it. And it's just basically just so I can pay the bills. And I work every single day to try and expose a little bit of scumbaggery. If you like to see that happen, please give, because, hey, if you don't ask, you don't get. That's what I've found. Thank you very much. Right. Joe Hagman is my guest. Welcome back, sir.
Glad to be back. And yes, definitely, if you have the means, donate to Mr. Eastwood's show, as he is a voice in, out there of many voices, one of few telling the truth, though. And we need as much of that as we can possibly get.
Now, where can people actually find the Hagman and Hagman Report? It's on Blog Talk, isn't it?
Yeah, we have the Hagman and Hagman Report is on Blog Talk Radio. You can also go to homelandsecurityus.com. That's our website, not affiliated with any government agencies. It's also known as the Northeast Intelligence Network. And also on iTunes, any podcast, just type in the Hagman and Hagman Report, and you can find archives of our shows, and we're on live Eastern 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, all the way over here in the States.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And is that 5 days a week as well?
Sometimes six, yeah, but 5 days, Monday through Friday. We've been doing some special Sunday shows that are up there. They are usually with special guests that we have. Pastor David Langford, Steve Quayle, a lot of people who are on the cutting edge of what's really going on in this world, and able to break it down in a language we can all understand.
Mm. Now, in terms of what's happening right now, I honestly don't really know. I don't follow the news quite so much anymore because I'm too busy interviewing people and uploading all of that kind of stuff. It's really difficult to keep the research and everything going and staying up to date. But as far as I know, you and at the Hagman Report are kind of, well, that's what your game really is, to keep up to date on everything that's happening, right?
Yeah. I spend so much time reading through government PDF documents and news articles, trying to understand the world through as many eyes as you can look through it. I try to understand the world. I'm a Christian myself, so I look at Bible prophecy. Also, we touch on all the current events that are happening that are important, that can affect our lives, and so many people don't see the relationship between the European Union potentially collapsing monetarily and how that would affect the U.S. So we do try to connect the dots as best we can. And it's just a two-man team, my father and I, both private investigators, my father for 30 years, me for, you know, maybe 10 years before we started getting into radio. And we made the switch last year, full time, and it wasn't really our choice, but here we are doing what we're doing, and I really enjoy it.
Yeah, well, I think there's a famous saying, it's not a choice, it's a lack of options.
Yeah, it's amazing how things change so fast. I mean, we were doing insurance investigation work, and next thing you know, we're doing a political talk show. Now, how you get from one to the other, I can't really explain, but it happened, and we've been doing pretty good. So we're going to continue to do what we do, and we're looking to expand our radio show as we are getting a lot of listeners. A lot of people are really tuning in to hear what's going on from a different perspective than they would get from their national TV or radio talking heads, the normal ones they listen to.
You know, what I've noticed is that I'll be driving around in my car, Joe, and I'll turn on the radio, and I've got a really crap band thing. I can only really get a mainstream talk radio 1 or mainstream talk radio 2 here, right? And you know what really occurs to me, man? It bores the living heck out of me because it's just all lies or sport.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. We actually here have our local main news radio station is half a sports station. So when they have, you know, baseball games going on during baseball season during the summer here, you don't get the news. You get to hear baseball. So it is frustrating, yes, and it is boring. And I don't know if you get the shows where one show will be saying, like over here, they'll be talking about how bad the job numbers are, how bad the recovery or quote-unquote recovery is going, and then the next show will be the complete opposite, saying how good it's going and how wonderful
Apple is doing. Yes.
Yep. It's quite amazing. And what's even more amazing is people don't even ask questions. They just listen and just go home confused.
Well, I think it's more like it's trying to instill in the population a sense that there's no such thing as objective truth, like if both sides are opinion. And the point is, if somebody's saying the economy is bad and the jobs are bad or whatever, and they've got evidence to state that, that's not an opinion, that's a fact. And if somebody comes out and says the economy is good, it's recovering and such and such and such, and because of this company doing that and that and that, it's an obfuscation of statistics and it's a lie. And people don't have the ability to discern the difference anymore. They treat both as opinion rather than one as fact and one as lie.
Yeah, correct. And I don't know how your guys' media has been reporting on what has been happening here in America, but there's a lot of, with this gun control issue, there are talks that they want to get this thing going again, the vote going again. Nancy Pelosi, when the initial Senate vote of Dianne Feinstein's bill was voted down, or she said it's just a matter of time. It's not a matter of if, but when they'll get their vote through. And I don't know how much the news media over there is reporting, but they were talking over here using a poll that they polled 254 people that said 90% of
254. Whoa, yeah. whoa.
And they were using this as a national talking point, saying 90% wanted this legislation to go through. So much so that you could hear people at the local restaurants saying, using this number as though it were etched in stone.
Okay, so what percentage is that of the population of the U.S.? So there's 254 out of what, 400 million?
Yeah, roughly. So you're looking at
a millionth of a percent, like 0.60.1.
Yeah, but see, the problem was the damage was already done because by the time that it was released, what poll that these numbers were coming from, the administration and all their minions and reporters had already taken the story and these numbers around the globe for a week at least before it came out where the poll came from and how many people were actually polled. So nobody pays attention to those little facts after the fact. All they heard was 90% of the America wants to ban all guns.
Oh my God. Yeah. Seriously?
Yeah.
Where did they take this poll?
Oh, I mean, this was used in the on the floor of the Senate as a talking point.
That's not what I mean. What I mean is, this 254 people? Were they like at an APAC meeting or something like that, and they just sat around and it was like, hey, bro, that guy looks like he's very anti-gun. He's got a big I hate guns and anybody who defends themselves sticker on his lapel. Let's go up and ask him if he thinks guns should be banned, you know, kind of thing. Just singly speak him out.
I think it was
what happens – That's what happens here in New Zealand, Joe. We have these what they call Colmar-Brunton political polls, right? And the polling companies are paid by the political parties to go out and call these lists of people in order to get a response that they want. So the polling companies, it turns out, have gotten these jotting down notepad kind of things. So if they call up somebody and they ask them some very simple questions and the person gives really stupid answers, that person goes on a list as somebody they're going to call back. If somebody knows what they're talking about, if somebody gives elaborate answers, intelligent responses and things of that, that person goes on another list to never call back. And so yeah, they do polls. They've got a whole bunch of prefab idiots that will suit either party or whatever argument that they want.
Yeah, I think this poll was conducted with 254 Democrats who were part of the Southern Poverty Law Center over here. But it was definitely something along those lines. And for those who are unfamiliar with the Southern Poverty Law Center, they have came out with a Year in Hate, and the government media over here, MSNBC, every one of their hosts did a expose on the increased rise in hate groups. And some of the hate groups that are listed on this document by the Southern Poverty Law Center are Constitutional Sheriffs of America, Richard Mack, any Christian organization. And they were talking about how there was an 813% rise in these hate groups across the U.S. But what they didn't say is they changed their definition of a hate group and what they consider to be hate groups. So once again, yes, you have more of this screwed up polling, these screwed up reports, and what they are doing is turning Homeland Security, marginalizing anybody who stands for any kind of freedom outside of what the collective government thinks, and labeling them as terrorists.
Right, so a hate group is like, I hate tyrants, I hate bullies, I hate criminals, I hate unconstitutional law reform, I hate being a slave, I hate illegal wars. Those are hate groups.
Don't forget, we are change.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and if you ask questions, I think you're on that list. They named Richard Mack by name. He's a very well-known constitutional sheriff here.
I've had him on the show, man. He's a good guy.
I mean, by name, and he's in Pennsylvania out of Philadelphia, and we're in Pennsylvania, so when I'm looking through our state's hate groups, I noticed him. But they lump these people together in with the Ku Klux Klan and, you know, the Black Panthers and some street gangs that they throw in there. I mean, it's just ridiculous. But
like, dig this, you know, the cops are going out, all right, we got a war between the Bloods and the Crips, and we are change going on. We're going to have to break it up.
Yeah. We got the Constitutional Sheriffs of the USA, taking on the Ku Klux Klan. And all of them are criminals. We're just going to go in there and round them all up. It's just insane the what they can get away with. That's what is shocking to me, how they are able to get away with what they do.
I think it's because they're psychos and they know that people are stupid. I mean, that's basically all it comes down to. Psychos have absolutely no conscience, absolutely no terms of consequence for their actions. They don't care. They don't think that they've ever done anything wrong in their entire lives, no matter how many people they've killed or lied to or destroyed. You know, that's basically it. These people just come up with a whole bunch of BS in order to make all the stupid people think that the good people are bad people, and that the bad people are good people, confuse the waters, and then all of a sudden, hey, you've got a whole group of willing, dumbed-down, slave people that you can recruit in order to attack people like us and Sheriff Richard Mack. Because they, there's an old saying, and again, if you can make somebody believe absurdities, you can make them commit atrocities.
Yeah, and that's very well put. I'm not sure. Abortion, President Obama has just gave a speech, or was going to give a keynote speech for Planned Parenthood this last Friday. Instead, is it break time?
It is.
Okay. I'll finish my thought on the other side, but just to give you the irony of abortion and how they talk about children's safety over here, at the same time advocating for abortion.
Yeah. Kill 80 million black children, but we're pro-life. We'll be right back. after the break to VinnieEastwoodShow.com with Joe Hagman from the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about organized crime, invading countries that don't deserve it, and selling off people's assets when they need them to survive. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the Chateau de Rothschild after bathing in the blood of virgins to keep us looking young and healthy, just like Kissinger does.
My very special guest is Joe Hagman. Now, we've come to the end, almost to the end of our first hour, and I was wondering exactly what's getting your goat right now, man, because you seem to be a little bit stressed out about all of these different news stories and tyranny conglomerates coming in on you. Are you dealing with it okay, man? Are you all right?
I tell you, I've had better days. It's been a... we were on Pastor Paul Begley's show earlier today, a radio show for a few hours, and... in the radio business, when you're doing other shows and you got to get ready for your own show, and then you have family issues like a nagging ball and chain of a wife. No, I'm kidding. But when you have things going on in your personal life, it does get stressful at times. And if I sound like I'm stressed out, that's because I am. And this is how I deal with it, is coming on the radio and just talking a little bit, I guess. But, you know...
You don't ever get excited on radio and go into like some angry, raging, yelling, screaming rant or nothing?
I used to do that, and I found it to be counterproductive. Unless there would be a situation which would arise that just kind of spur of the moment happens. But no, I've tamed myself. And people have said, you know, you sound like you're neutering yourself. But no, I just try to keep a level head because when you get involved with stories like this, when we see what's really going on, emotions can cloud our judgment, really. And I'm not saying that I remove all emotions, but I try to keep myself as grounded as possible so I am not losing my hair at 30 years old and, going crazy.
See, I've experienced this a little bit myself. You know what drives me nuts most of all is actually the commenters sometimes who call you crazy or tell you to go get a job or something like that. I don't know what it is about people personally insulting me when I'm trying to do this, this what I consider to be very important work that helps society, and they treat me like trash, you know, and it really gets under my skin.
Oh, yeah. We get the emails, the people that like to call or send nasty letters, and I especially I like the ones that disagree with everything you say but yet continue to listen all the time just to send those emails. But hopefully they stick around long enough that they hit their head and common sense will start pouring into their brain, because it's not about you or me or any one particular person. It's about the message. It's about freedom. It's about our God-given right to live without being oppressed. And that's all I'm trying to help people understand. And if they don't want to hear that message, then that's okay with me. I'm not coming, you know, to their work and telling them they're not, you know, being a proper shoe salesman or a bank teller. But I guess that's the nature of the business. That's sometimes.
The ones who discourage you from continuing and at the same time, what is it? They discourage you from continuing to expose the scumbags and tell you that you should go back to watching TV, drinking beer, and only taking care of your family. And I was just like, man, my family isn't going to exist. They're not going to be alive unless I expose the scumbags. All right?
Yeah.
There's like no chance.
The worst, the people that get me the worst are the ones who have the same understanding of this tyrannical New World Order system taking over. But the infighting about certain issues amongst themselves keep them from coming together. I mean, that if there's anything that makes me angry, it is that, because there's nothing more frustrating than seeing people divided down to their most common denominator. And that's what these people want us to be, is divided. This is how they gain their control, is through our division. And if we could just unite under under freedom itself, under being a free people, we could accomplish a lot more. But unfortunately, there's too many agendas. There's too many infiltrators. There's just too many people that want what they want instead of freedom for all.
Well, the Puritans, as opposed to being pragmatic, like, I'm quite pragmatic, I'd say, but there's only really one sort of back line that I'll go to where I get a bit puritanical about it, and it goes like this. Like, Joe, you'd never, like, don a black uniform if the government told you to and come and exterminate me and my family, right? No, you wouldn't do it, would you?
Okay. No.
Well, then we don't have any fundamental disagreements then, do we?
Not at all, then. No.
Yeah, and that's my baseline.
Yeah, and if it were only that simple. But yeah, I understand and hear you 100%, but then you get the people, well, it should be like this, and it should be like this, and you shouldn't be saying you're endorsing this, and you shouldn't be saying, and this is what I have been saying on my show. I say America is gone. We'll never see America as it once was again. And that's because we have let the decline take place for too long. We have let these people take over our nation, and the people, I do not see them taking it back. So when I say America as we knew it is gone, I'm not saying it because that's what I believe or that's what I want. I'm saying it because that's what I see. Now, where we go from there, we can always take suggestions and learn from each other. But I say if people can't agree, if you live in America and you think this can still be fixed by the voting box, then yeah, we're going to have some disagreements, but I'm not going to, cut you off, not talk to you because of it. But there are people out there who do believe that this can still be solved in a political way. We just got to wait for the next president to run, and who knows? It could be Jim Napolitano versus Jeb Bush in the next race. And I don't think it would matter if Mitt Romney were president right now. We'd be seeing the same things in America. We'd be seeing the same things happening in the world. That's because this is a global agenda. So once we realize who the real enemy is and what the real goal should be, yeah, we can agree and go from there.
You know, it's real confusing because, I don't know, it's... How do I explain this? Like a cactus. You know how a cactus is covered in every direction with spines, right? So you can't touch the cactus. Doesn't matter which direction you try to do it, no matter how tentatively, you're going to get pricked while doing it. And that's essentially what I feel is a analogy for both the New World Order system and its resistance system. Because you look at it like this. If you've got a problem with the courts or something like that, you'll go and you'll find out soon enough that a lot of the judges are corrupt and they sell kids through child protective services or whatever. If you've got a problem with the cops, the only people you can complain to are the cops. Cops investigating themselves. When they don't investigate themselves, they simply protect each other and then ask you what your name and your number and everything like that is so that they can come and intimidate you. If you say that there's a problem with a corrupt politician, he starts passing corrupt laws so that people like you who are questioning him for being a corrupt scumbag get raided and put in jail for absolutely no reason. You start saying that your doctor is a scumbag because he's given you vaccines when there's no law actually requiring you to give you vaccines. And then he says that you're a crazy person and he has you committed and they put you on incredibly dangerous psychotropic drugs. It doesn't matter how we come at any form of officialdom, I've found. They've always got some kind of methodology to shut you down and, if necessary, kill you to prevent you from changing the status quo.
Yeah. And the cactus analogy is a great analogy. I don't think I've ever heard it put like that. And it's so accurate because there is no way... We can, and that's exactly how it feels. There's no way you can get in there without getting pricked. And you're right. The judges are corrupt down to the core. The police are corrupt. They're just like the gangs. They're the biggest gang we have in the United States, the police. Then you have the judges who back them up. Then you have the executive branch, the Congress. They all get paid off and live under different rules than the rest of us regular useless eaters. And it's
seriously,
this vicious cycle.
Half the time I feel like us blaring out on the radio about these scumbags, I feel like we're just balloons being thrown at a cactus.
Yeah, no, it is. And we are to a certain extent, but we just always have to understand that, you know, people have done this, have come before us and done the same thing, and their time was cut off early sometimes, and in other cases not. I was sad to see that Mr. Jim Tucker passed away this weekend, as he was one of the few real journalists out there exposing the Bilderberg Group.
American Free Press, Jim Tucker. He died recently. Oh, man.
This weekend, yeah. And he, I mean... But look at all the people that he inspired that are now at the Bilderberg meetings. So at the same time a legend dies, you know, many more are born. So this cycle continues. And I guess 5 years ago from today, I'm sure there weren't as many people awake in America or in New Zealand as there are today. And that's because of people like yourself. Who continue to be the voice of truth. So as hard as it is to sit here and grab little victories, we can be happy in the fact that we know we're making some bit of difference.
Yeah. Well, see, it's like I was saying before, the worst thing you can do is nothing. And so the solution is simple. Just don't do nothing. Whatever it is, just don't do nothing. It's pretty straightforward, I would have thought. Joe Hagman is my guest. He'll be joining us for the next hour as well. And we will also be joined halfway through that first segment by my good mate, Baron Hines, as well, and turn this into a little bit of a roundtable discussion. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show. Listener-supported, ladies and gentlemen, if you're capable of donating in any way, shape, or form. Desperately need it now because I just had my my wireless microphones be destroyed, and they cost about $500. About $500. I've been using them for years, captured innumerable public meetings and interviews with that. Desperately need those replaced. Donate at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.